I don't think that my marriage is so fragile that a cheat would break it.
Matt, I've known you a long time.
You don't think if Nadera cheated, I would be...
I think you're too petty to
allow... I'm going to get my lick back. I didn't say I wasn't. I never said, I never said I was going to go not get my lick back.
Welcome to the Sunday Scoop. We are here, thankful to be here and to be recording and to be able to capture comedy history on this podcast. So welcome to Sunday Scoop. Today, we're joined by my guest co-host, Matthew Gray.
Do I do an introduction?
Matt, let's just do maybe three fun facts about you.
Three fun facts.
Like it's corporate, you know, like pretend you're at your corporate job.
Oh, my corporate job is a hot ass mess.
Can you put the mic closer to you?
I can.
Thank you.
Is that closer? Mm-hmm. Is that better? Yes. Three facts.
Who are you?
I'm a new dad.
Oh, okay. Congratulations, man.
My child is 2 months years old. Yeah, that's a great.
Two months.
Oh shit. 2 months old.
You can tell he's a new dad.
And this shit is kicking my ass.
Okay.
I work in human resources. And I am a jack of all trades. I can do pretty much anything, but not good. I just do a little bit of everything.
Okay, that last fun fact was kind of trash. I'm not going to lie.
I don't fucking know.
Human resources, that's great.
What you you got a baby in human resources.
Like, what else do you want me to put?
My favorite color is blue?
I need something. Give me something.
You had to fire somebody. You got a good, voice.
I'm actually the person that like keeps the job fun. Like I hire people to do fun things at my job. So I'm actually the person at HR that they like. Not the person that says, oh, you got to go. I'm the person that'd be like, oh, we have this fun activity in the quad. Come on down. That's me.
Chipper personality.
So we connected him with Takara. Takara did a show at his job. About a month ago, 2 months ago?
That was absolutely in May. But yeah, sure.
How long ago was it?
In May.
God damn.
You do the math.
Time is flying.
4 months. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I'm the one, the kid.
And we got Lonnie, the janitor of Chocolate Sundays in the building.
Oh, she's the clean up woman.
Clean up. Mm-hmm. And red light monitor and enforcer.
She made sure this thing runs smooth, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Everything about Chocolate Sundays.
And we got the amazing Boogie B. Boogie B is a New Orleans native. The name Boogie B came from his dancing and rapping abilities. So we're going to have to see, either some dancing.
This nigga read my bio. He read my bio from 2012.
Or some rapping or some bars, okay?
Let me introduce my goddamn self. I'm comedian Boogie B from New Orleans.
And if he's not killing it on stage, you can catch him on social media. Yeah. I've been dropping some New Orleans hood history or stressing people out.
Stressing them out with that real New Orleans fast. Hood history.
I was about to say those things definitely sound like they can go together. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Hood history? Come on, man. I'm about to make it into a book too, Rich.
No, I love
that. I'm about to make a New Orleans hood history book.
Okay, give me a hood history fact.
Like, what is hood history fact? All right. So the way I do hood history is that I just pick any random thing about New Orleans and I just explain it to you, but I explain it to you in a way that a teacher wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? So on my last one, I did AP Turo. Y'all ever heard of AP Turo? God damn, black people.
What is it?
We live in Los Angeles.
AP Turo was a civil rights leader he was the leader of the NAACP in New Orleans. Thurgood Marshall appointed him.
I know that name.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Thurgood Marshall appointed him. He was a lawyer. He was the Howard graduate. He went to, his son, AP Turo Jr., tried to go to LSU, and he was the first student to go. AP Turo had to sue LSU to get his son in the school back in segregation days. And he won. And his son, AP Turo Jr., was the first black person to go to LSU.
That's dope.
And he only went there for 55 days, though, because white folks back in them days.
They just needed a reason.
They ended up expelling him and everything. Yeah, his dad was important. He's important. And, it's a street named after him in New Orleans. You could go to it. He got a statue. Take a picture. That's important for y'all to remember this type of history. But it's New Orleans, so get your ass away from that statue after dark, okay? Yeah. You don't want to be out there at nighttime in New Orleans. You stay your ass in the French Quarter. That's my best tip I could give everybody. And then if you in the French Quarter,
I was about to say the French Quarter is not the place to be at in general.
If you in the French Quarter at night, you need to put your wallet in your front pockets.
Is that bad?
Yeah. No. They be pickpocketing you. That's the crazy thing. If somebody ever asks you about your shoes in New Orleans, just keep walking.
Yeah.
They ain't about to take them. You're about to either get hustled or robbed. They about to tell you to play the top game.
And they'll play you for your shoes?
What's the top game?
You ain't never seen it with the cat?
Little three-card, three-top ball game. Oh, you're about to get hustled with that. Yeah. Or they going to make you stop and look down as soon as you look at them. Then your whole...
I ain't got time.
Is it like a violent offense, or they just try to like trick you out of your stuff? Like, is it like, oh, I'm...
It could be either one. Okay. It could be either one. Chelsea.
Got tahini on it. You fancy.
I'm not even asking this.
That must be for me, because that's what I get.
You got a drink with cinnamon on the rim. Drink, what is that?
I just ordered a tequila shot.
Maybe if you order from Kiana, she knows this is what I drink.
Oh, okay. That's what happened. Yeah,
sorry, Rich. Shout out to Kiana. But when she brought them in for you guys, I was like, yeah, so these are on my tab, but I don't get a drink.
Wait, is that Lonnie's drink?
I'll be back.
All right. Ali looking at me like, oh, no,
that's what I like about Sunday Scoop. We be on here like we not on here. We be on here talking to people off camera. Hey, so you had smoked that weed back in the day?
It's better that way.
I absolutely know
it's so real. You know, it's real to life.
We know we were recording if you didn't say we were recording. Like, really? You know, this feels like just
never know.
Good.
Just talking.
Good.
So I have a question. When you just said about how he sued to get his son in, when I think about stories like that from back then, I'm always shocked that Black people ever won any lawsuit. You know, like.
No, I didn't win that lawsuit.
Yeah, like,
but he did it, though. He was about, like, he had Thurgood Marshall on his side.
But you know what I mean?
No, I get so you, bad but it back then.
And he said, like, you know, he only lasted 55 days.
Yeah,
and
they harassed him to death.
How did he ever win the lawsuit?
Right. His dad won because he was just that powerful at the time. Mm. The NAACP had just kicked off, and he met the NAACP people and the NAACP Foundation, he met them in New York. So he ended up going from Chicago to New York and then getting a law degree, because you damn sure couldn't get no law degree in the South in 1921. Right. So this would all happen in 1921.
Now, is there a hood fact under this, or this is the hood fact?
This is the hood fact, is because I'm not no damn teacher.
So you shouldn't
even, really be telling y'all this. So I'm just telling you what I know from the hood perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know books like this, like that. Like, I didn't. I went to a community college for 2 years, dropped out.
But I think what you're saying is that, because that street that you were talking about,
AB2 Road.
Where is that street?
It's in the 7th Ward in New Orleans. It's
so,
in the hood.
Yeah, so maybe in it's New the history, Orleans the history is, behind this street.
Yeah, yeah. So I do different things about New Orleans, though. I do the history on Mardi Gras as told from me. You know what I'm saying? The history on Mardi Gras, New Orleans in general.
What's the history behind the beads?
Okay. And you guys can't keep talking over each other, just FYI. Gotcha. You gotta let someone finish talking, because then it's all three at the same time and it's hard.
Hell yeah.
Now nobody gonna talk.
Who go is
What's
it?
What's the history behind the beads?
The Mardi Gras beads. So Mardi Gras, originally, they started off just not throwing anything. It was just parades. Mm-hmm. And then it was a... I forget the guy's name, but it was a guy who had a Mardi Gras in Mobile, Alabama. Mm-hmm. But Mobile, Alabama was in Louisiana. So this is where Mardi Gras started bead throwing. So Mardi Gras originated in New Orleans, but it started with the beads in Mobile, Louisiana.
I'm so confused.
Wait, Mobile, you're saying Mobile used to be in Louisiana.
Alabama wasn't a state at the time.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
Mobile was a part of Louisiana, and it was only people from New Orleans in Mobile at that time, because they was having a battle in New Orleans on the grounds. It was the Battle of 1810. So while that was going on in New Orleans, any fun shit that used to go on in New Orleans had to go your ass to Mobile, where it's chill at. Mm-hmm. And that's where they started throwing Mardi Gras beads. It was a guy over there who started it on one float, and then everybody just picked up on it. Then they just started throwing everything, candy, food, liven the people up, you know what I'm saying, back in the Depression. So
did you see that new documentary on Jazz Fest? I think it's on Netflix or something.
Yes, it is on Jazz Fest. I've seen all. I know all that shit, though. They finally showed me love at Jazz Fest. Shout out to Jazz Festival in New Orleans, man. They showed me love just here, man.
But what that documentary said that I thought was so interesting is New Orleans is the only city in America, they say, or in the United States, that has its own culture that was their own. Mm-hmm. And I thought about, I'm like, yeah, the other cities in the U.S. have no culture. Like, we really have no culture.
Texas. Or like Dallas?
What's the culture?
I think it defines what you consider culture. Because if you ask somebody from what's California culture, like if you ask a specific person, they'll talk about the beaches, they'll talk about surfing and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I think New Orleans does have its own like unique, like, hey, this is New Orleans. Because the culture you find in New Orleans, you ain't going to get anywhere else.
Goddamn right. The food different. The music, we have our own brand of music called Bounce Music, New Orleans Bounce Music. I used to be a bounce rapper, too. I used to shake it like a wall, walk it like a talker, like a... So that's all I did. So when people be like, you used to rap, I used to be like, yeah, they call me Boogie B, because I used to be like, a boogie, like a boogie, like a boogie, like a boogie. And but this was before the word twerk was nationwide. Yeah. The word twerk started in New Orleans.
Do you have any music on the internet?
Hell no, the internet wasn't out. I'm 40, man. Come on. This was in 2000, 2001.
Some cassette tape.
You got to find a CD. You got to get a CD. Yeah.
Joe, can you turn my mic up?
But all my rap, the people I rap with at that time are big rappers now. So Big Freedia, you ever heard of her?
Yeah.
I used to rap. Me and Big Freedia grew up together on Josephine Street. We used to rap. At that time, now there's a rapper called Chopper and a rapper called Hot Boy Ronda. These are the hottest ones in New Orleans. And they was then, too. And we was all starting off together in the music industry. And I left that shit alone. It was too dangerous.
Yeah. Okay, this is what I really want to ask you about.
So you can see the TikTok.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if you guys have heard Boogie's joke, but he just did it about how he caught his girl cheating.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's the craziest. People be doing it. Tough. Y'all ain't tough.
It's like some movie shit, some TV show.
Wait.
Okay.
Yeah, wait. I want to hear it. It's story time.
Let me tell y'all, dude. Let me tell y'all when I got cheated on. Cheers. I'm going to cheers with the water. Bottoms up. You don't post this bad luck to hit your glass with a water, so I just toast it up like this. I caught my girl cheating. A lot of people caught their people cheating before, but like text shit, like I caught you walking with somebody. I caught my girl having sex with somebody.
Damn.
And we lived together. Been living together for 3 years at that time. We was talking about marriage, talking about kids. Shit was so cool between me and us. We had me and her, we had so much conversations. Like,
I'm
like
mad
homies
right now. We was like, I'm so mad.
Wait till,
like,
you find out.
I would never guess.
My heart.
Like,
my
y'all heart thinking, okay, somebody cheated on you because the relationship was rocky. Nah, we was good. I was rapping at the town, the road, touring, everything. I was doing good locally. And I did a show one night, and I caught her outside the show in the car.
Outside of your show?
Outside, yes. In the parking lot of the venue. I walk right up on the car. The reason I found their car, I don't tell the part on stage, but the reason I found the car, because somebody saw her pass by. And one of my boys came in. He was like, hey, man, your girl outside. I was like, nah, I just got off the phone with her. She was like, she was going to come to my crib after the show. I was like, bet. It's like already like 12:30 or whatever. I don't see her coming in there. I'm like, I said, bro, did you see my lady outside? He was like, yes, I saw you. She waved at me, white Camry. I was like, my girl don't got no white Camry. I said, after about 15 minutes, I was like, let me go outside and look. And so I went, like, white Camry, found it. I was like, this look like a dude car.
Wait, question. I have a question.
This shit hurt my heart.
It hurts. This shit hurts.
I'm bringing you to it. It's a climax. It's climactic.
The 15 minutes, what was going through your head in that 15 minutes? Do I go outside? I don't want to know?
I'm not even thinking no trip shit. I'm thinking maybe her and a homegirl got a car or whatever. She didn't have a car at the time.
No, why would she come to the show to cheat?
Right, but she said she wasn't coming, so I was thinking, oh, she about to surprise me.
She surprised
the fuck out of me. I didn't want that kind of surprise. I thought you was going to have a cake or something. I don't know what you was going to have.
Oh, my God.
Oh, she had some cake. Right. Not for you.
Oh, Lonnie, damn, Lonnie.
Lonnie, stop it, BJ. Damn, you see, I'm stealing your jokes, Lonnie. You're going to put this in my set.
That's a good one.
Hey, when I walked up to the Camry, she was in there, and it was tinted so dark, I had to cuff my eyes like this. And, you know, I dilated a little bit, so I wasn't sure. But then when it came clear, I saw her hand on the roof and one hand on the steering wheel, his seat laid back. He got cornrow, he light skin. I'm looking in the window this for about 40 seconds. 40 seconds is a lifetime.
That's a long time, buddy.
I'm in that window like I'm going through emotions. I'm shaking. Yeah. And I was holding my breath. I realized I was holding my breath. I was like, and when I let it out, my lip trembled. I felt that tear welling up. I'm like, damn, we live together. I got to go home with her. I was like, oh, I love her so much. I don't know what to do. I'm about to cry. The dude opens the door while she's still on his penis. He opened the door and said, what the fuck you looking at, nigga? I said, I can't even say that. I was speechless. Like, the nerve. The audacity of you. You got your dick in my lady, man.
You got checked.
And she immediately got out, was pulling the skirt, crying. I'm so sorry, please. I love you so much.
That's the shit I
I'm
hate.
I'm so sorry, please.
That
please
is
let
the
me talk
shit
to
I
you.
Hate. Why are you crying?
Through that?
Hold on. No, it's just like,
why are you crying?
The story.
Okay, yes. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Wait,
I'm so mad. I'm
worse.
So mad.
That's bad.
I'm so mad.
That's bad. But that's not the worst. That's bad, but that's not the worst, Lonnie. The worst is the dude recognized me.
Oh, shit.
He gets out the car. He ain't even put his penis away. He said, dick still out and was wrecked. Oh, I know you. You Boogie B. Oh, man. Ain't your manager name Jonathan? And he's dick still out and hard. And bigger than mine.
No!
I ain't never seen a human penis in real life before. Oh, hard. This was my first dick. I'm so in shock. And I'm looking at it, but I'm looking at her. She's crying. I'm about to cry. I look over at that dick, and I'm thinking, like, damn, you just took that out, my lady. You took all that penis out of. Oh, it ain't got no condom on it. I'm about to die.
Oh, my God.
I went back in the club and did my damn show.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh. Wow. Took my lick. I said, I'm going to cry in the car. I'm going to cry in the car for real. On the way to the house, I'm going to cry. Because it was like already 1 a.m. It's showtime now. You know, rap groups go on at like 1, you know what I mean? So it's time for me to go, and there's no getting out of it. I took the money already.
Yeah.
So it ain't no cancel. I went right back in there and did my damn show. I was rapping, but my lips still were trembling. It felt like I had the poo the whole time I was rapping. I was like, ugh.
So, you know, I was going to ask that. That leads me because, you know, we've all had a really rough week with David passing and stuff. And I've just had like a crazy couple weeks. And even coming to this podcast, I was a little nervous, like with my energy. So how do you fix that before you go on stage?
I trained myself that night to do your job. Just like if I was a firefighter, you know what I'm saying? I can't not save you because I'm hurting, you know what I mean? So I made a choice to be an entertainer, and I stuck with it, and I'm still sticking with it to this day. So everything tragic that has ever happened in these 16 years, I did comedy that day or the next. Because I'm that dedicated to this shit. Like, I don't care how I'm feeling, I'm about to make y'all feel better. And then I'm going to go home, and I'm going to be sad, and I'm going to cheer myself up, and then come cheer y'all up again.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? My father passed, died of AIDS in 2007. My brother committed suicide 2010 in New Orleans. This was going down. My dad had AIDS for 17 years, but when Katrina hit, he got stuck in the water, had to walk through all that shit, and then end up, if the disease, you know, shit got fucked up, his immune system, you know what I'm saying? Then that's what made him pass. But I went on stage the night I heard it. The night they called me, I had a show. I was already there. What am I going to
do? Damn. So how do you perform? How do you do?
I did well, too. Every night I was hurting, I killed. At that time, my comedy wasn't always hit. I wasn't funny every time on stage back then because I had just started. I was only doing comedy like 2007. I just started 1 year in. And 2010, I'm just like less than 5 years in, you know what I'm saying? So, but I just pushed through it, and that's what made me greater at it. Because the ability to take that pain and just let that be the passion and the energy to live. You know what I'm saying? So David Arnold, that hurt me. That hurt me. I saw me and David Arnold was in the nail shop together like a month ago. We was talking him and his mom. Mm. And that was my first time meeting his mom. She's David. His mom, great. Love David. I thought she was trying to have sex with me for a second. I was like, damn. David Arnold mama trying to fuck me on the door. I was thinking to myself, because he wasn't really talking to me no more. And she just touching me every time, putting a hand on me.
You know, Miss Arnold been a little lonely lately. And, Boogie's a good guy. His girl just cheated on him. He's actually available. So I feel like this could be a...
But comedy is pain, man. Is. So that type it of is. Shit just fuels my fire to go do what I do. Yeah. And to keep pushing. I hope when I make it, I hope I get to enjoy it longer. Right. But you never know. You got to live right now. You don't got all day to be sad and be... You better get your shit together and keep going. You don't know if you're going to be next. You better enjoy this little time y'all got. I'm battle tested. I've been through Katrina, caught my lady with a dick in her. I done did everything. I done did it all.
I done been through
a whole lot. I'm going to write a book too, man. After I do my New Orleans hood history book.
Yeah.
Plug
that.
Okay, so back to that. Like, what did you say to her?
Yeah, I got
to
know.
How does the conversation end? Wait, so like God. In that scene, so after he said that, got out, like you just
I ain't
left?
Say nothing. I was just backing up the whole time. I was taking it in. I couldn't say
and
nothing.
And she's crying because she got caught.
Yeah, she was crying, and she was, like, grabbing at my arms as if I was going to hit her or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, why, what? I'm backing away, and you coming towards me, he coming towards me.
I have a fucked up question.
Hard.
I have a fucked up question to ask.
What is it?
Do you think that was the first time?
No. It definitely wasn't. So we got back together. Because
you took her back?
Like, I was so in love with the girl,
Boogie,
bro.
Wait,
I apologize. I took her back.
Quick. Can we go back?
Okay.
Why was she at your comedy show fucking a guy?
See,
why
now you asking me the preliminary. Yes. This is the questions that came. I learned later after we got back together and after everything before we got smooth. I was like, what the fuck was you doing up there? She said he was a friend from high school and he hang with her two best friends. It's his two best friends. And
guys?
So they was, you know, her two girl best friends and his two guy best friends was best friends. So it was like, they was like both some the third man, wheel man, yeah, on, no. each, on each.
Or they were all couples.
So they was all, so they ended up coupled up everywhere they went when I was out of town doing my shows.
Yeah,
and he was pressing her and she was like, nah, I love Boogie, blah, 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 blah. He knew of me, but he never seen me because, and I'd seen his two friends before with his, with her two homegirls, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I asked her what happened, she said, I wanted to surprise you. I needed a ride to the club. I knew it was late. I knew you was already there. So I wanted to come up there and just ride home with you. And the girl, her homegirl was supposed to come. One of the best friends was supposed to come pick her up. And at the last minute, she was like, my mom trip. You can't get you. And then she said, I'll see if Morgan can come get you and bring you.
Morgan
came with the dick out and pressed on a whole ride to the club. And she said she kind of broke down and, you know, it just, you know, went from there or whatever. And she said that was their first time having sex.
Cap.
What?
Cap! She said. Cap!
Wait, how long ago was this?
This was when I was in my 20s. I'm 40.
Okay, so you're over it. So we can talk about it.
Yeah,
that's why I was laughing about it.
Nothing in my past hurts me.
Okay, like, I wouldn't have laughed that hard.
I can talk about
everything.
Okay, I make you laugh about the worst shit. I try to make you laugh about the worst shit.
Cap. I have so many questions, but not enough time.
And so I ended up finding out that was Cap. She absolutely was fucking him every time they hung out.
Bruh, there, yes.
Really?
I ended up finding out after we had already kind of got back to the air where we was.
Raw.
Yes.
Fucking him raw.
Yes.
I got to ask a question.
Okay.
So what was the process like of you forgiving her? Like, so
hard.
So y'all talked about that night, or did y'all just
no,
go straight
no,
into
no. I went straight home. I ain't talked to her. Like, I went straight home. She didn't come.
Are you sure she didn't come?
Her, don't come. Dirty.
He interrupted it. She couldn't.
She was about to. She was definitely about to.
You ain't shit, man.
He cock blocked the cum.
I can tell by our focus.
Oh, cock blocking ass out here on the window, fogging up the window.
Right. He like,
hey, I'm trying to bust. What you doing? Looking in here, girl. What you doing?
Damn. People be like, Boogie, why your voice like that? Struggle. Nigga, my voice, this is a struggle voice. This is a voice when you done been through shit. And you handled it like a soldier.
Oh my God.
I handled everything like a soldier.
God, Boogie, but look how I found out, though. Guy.
Look how I found out. This is the last part I'm going to tell you about the story, then fuck God. The rest. The how I found out that they was fucking on a regular was through him. 8-9 months later.
He came to you like a man?
I saw him somewhere in New Orleans. I don't live in the Night Ward. I live uptown. Mm-hmm. He live in the Night Ward. We over there with Hot Boy Rhino and Chopper Style. It was a van full of rappers, and we about to go out of town. And when we stopped to pick one of the dancers up, he was there. He live on her, like next door to her, coincidentally. So I'm out, everybody outside the van, everybody kicking it. He walks up to me and like, oh, what's up, brother? Dap me up. I'm like, what's up? Now I remember him, but I was traumatized, so I don't remember his face. You know what I'm saying?
You was like, let me see that dick and see if you know.
Jesus Christ.
Make it hard. Make it hard. Yeah, I just, no, yeah.
Check it off.
Yeah,
let me see.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who you are. I had no clue who he was. He gets to talking to me like we boys. And all the fellas is out there. So I'm like, I'm not going to be on the weird shit. Yeah. So I'm like, yo, we talking. He say, my bad about that bitch, bro. I was like, He was like, yeah, man, we was fucking every time we hung out and she was dealing with you and you was calling her and y'all was all in love. I told her I had bitches, so she was telling me she was going to break up with her nigga for me. I said, don't do that. I don't want you. I was like, is he talking about my woman?
Were you guys still together at that time?
Yes.
Oh, my
God. That's when the breakup happened.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Couldn't take it. Couldn't take it no
good.
More.
Hey, wherever you are, you ain't shit. Wherever you are in this world, I want you to know that.
Do you ever talk to her? Are you guys in jail? Oh, okay.
I hope she sees this.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'd never talk to her again. No way. He went into so much detail.
Oh.
He knew my life.
Because he assumed you guys weren't together
anymore. He assumed we broke up and we just talking about some old shit. You know what I'm saying? And he just trying to smooth it out. But he in detail like real niggas talk. Like in the hood, they be like, man, that bitch was fucking me and sucking my nigga. And we was at my job and this and that and the other thing. He was telling me every instance. Oh, you remember when y'all did the show in Shreveport? She was riding my dick on the phone with you. I was like, I said, bitch, you scandalous. You gonna tell that nigga you love him while you ride my dingling? He was going hard with it. And I was a little like, back to the lip tremble.
Damn.
It's so funny to me.
So what made you stay with her after you found out?
When I first found out, I only stayed with her because she said it was a one-time thing. And I felt like I could have, and I had done cheated on girls before. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this just God giving me back what I was putting out there before her. Mm-hmm. Like, she was my first love, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I had cheated on everybody else who loved me. I had did my thing. Mm-hmm. So I took that like a G. She was like, it was a one-time thing. It'll never happen again. I love you so much. Never loved him. Never, no. And it kind of just grew on me over time, and we kind of made it solid after months and months and months. And then, as soon as we made it solid, it was unsolid.
But hey, the way God works,
exactly. Okay. Save me, though. It saved me.
I'm sure
I could have married her or anything.
But could you imagine had you had married her and then that happened, bro? Like, what? You dodged a bullet.
Yeah, I would have did it the same way.
Oh my God.
I'm against all that snap shit, all that killing somebody. I'm totally against. If somebody cheating on you, let them cheat on you.
I agree.
No,
and break up with them.
Break up.
Don't hit. Don't hot. I'm going to jump on. I'm going to shoot up. I'm going to don't do nothing violent and end up in prison over somebody, especially the women. Y'all do it a lot. They get into it. Yes.
If you can say that. If I find a text or whatever, yes. If I walk up outside Chocolate Sundays and my man is fucking a bitch in the car.
What you gonna do?
What's happening?
I'm blowing that. I'm breaking windows. I'm killing everybody in that car.
You going to the penitentiary.
I might not kill them, obviously, but I'm breaking windows. I'm fucking the car up. I'm fucking her up. Yeah. That's crazy. How do you hold yourself back from that?
You got to. You have to. It's a must because you're about to meet somebody after that person that is going to be better for you. And you're going to love them more. You're going to like them more. You're going to want to be with them more. And you thought that person who did that to you was that person until you met that person. But if you kill somebody, go to jail or some shit, you'll never meet that person then.
You might.
You're about to go to jail and be fucking dudes.
These are thoughts you have like 2 weeks after the situation happens, you're watching in the car in the moment.
I felt like you handled that very well.
I felt the rage though. I did feel the rage hit me in that 40 seconds. I went from like rage and mad to where I felt like I could just punch through the glass and grab her neck. I felt that energy and that heat, that red, but I was there so long that it changed into, I know you see me looking at you fucking. Now, you is not this into no dick now.
This is a show at
Can't
this point.
Can't be, right? Can't be. You gotta see me right here. Ain't no dick that good. You telling me you don't see a whole man at not even 15 millimeters from your face?
That's crazy.
Like, that's, so, for okay, 40 so seconds?
This is, I want to open this up to the table. If you break up, what are the conditions to get back together?
What do you mean by like, oh, like what would let you take them back?
Yeah.
First off, I'm a firm
Why do
believer.
You ask?
I got questions.
I'm just curious.
There's layers to this question. Because
Lonnie?
Like, I mean, that's a very complicated question because it depends on what the breakup was about.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
But,
so you saying cheating. Like somebody cheated. I don't think
personally, like cheating for me, cheating is just like that's a hard no. I can't even come back to the relationship because you've already shown me that you're willing to just put my feelings and my whole everything that we built second. So once you cheat, it's like, cool. Like, that's what you're on. I'm out.
I think I can come back from cheating.
I can't.
You're
love
enough.
Have you been in love with someone and then gotten cheated on by them? Because that's what Boogie's joke is about. You don't love someone until you get cheated
on. You don't love
them.
You don't love them enough. You don't really love her if you're willing to let her go that easily. And women do it all the time. Women take men back all the time because they really love us.
Agreed.
Really. And y'all can argue with me if you want to, but argue with your bone.
But if it's my sister, right? So if I have my younger sister and she's with a dude, dude cheats on her. And then my sister's like, but I love him and I want to take him back. I would not allow my sister to do that.
You can't stop her.
I agree.
I would do everything in my power to stop her from doing that.
Take. I think that people cheat for lots of reasons. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes people are very, very unhappy. They're going through lots of things. And then one person steps out and they realize it was a mistake. And, you know, they go to counseling, blah, blah, blah. I think if you're both really happy and you think that you're happy like you were and everything's going great and then they cheat, then it's like, no, I could never, ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think I could ever take anyone back after cheating, period, no matter what we're going through. But I see how it could be if you were in a really rough patch for a long time.
I got taken back plenty of times. I done cheated on girls and got taken back before that happened to me. I cheated on girls and they took me back. They didn't go nowhere. They was mad. They cried. We cried. We got back together.
But you were
because they
young.
Loved me more than that. And I was young. So keep that in mind too, young
people. But I'm going to say this, like, not no shade, but it's like, You kept cheating on him.
Yeah, I still ended up breaking up with him. I mean, they wasn't right for taking me back.
But that's what I'm saying. It's the wrong choice.
Right.
Yeah.
It works to your benefit.
But you have to do it sometimes because you really love somebody, and without them, you may spiral into a crack binge. You never know what's going to happen to you without that person.
Okay, that was quite the spiral.
Women do that all the time.
Wait.
No shade either. I don't think she was in love with you. Because I'm a firm believer. I think that if you are actually in love with someone, you don't cheat on them.
I got to disagree with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. I think, okay, to his situation specifically, I don't know if I can come back from that.
I can't come back from seeing. I don't think I can come back from that.
Y'all ain't built like me, baby.
I don't know. I have no problem admitting that. You are tougher than me.
Absolutely. Yes.
But I believe that I can come back from cheating. I'm married, and I still think I can come back from cheating in my marriage. I would be hurt. I'd be devastated. I'll think all that. But I do not think that because I came from parents that cheat on each other. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. My parents were married 25 years and cheat on each other. Mm-hmm. Like, they just, I ain't got no justification for it. They did. They both will admit to whatever they did, like, during their time. And they both had hiccups. And they were still married and made it work. So I still think I could do that in my relationship. I think that, I don't know if I can get away with you.
I've known you
Matt's cheating.
I've known. No, he's not, Nadira.
He's trying to let his wife
be. I'm not cheating.
No, he's not. He's here at the podcast having a good time, relaxing, okay? All right.
But
Matt, I've known you a long time.
You don't think if Nadira cheated, I would be.
I think you're too petty to
allow. I'm gonna get my lick back. I didn't say I wasn't. I never said I was gonna go not get my lick back. I'm gonna get my lick back. I'm just not. I don't think that my marriage is so fragile that a cheat would break it. I agree with him. If you love somebody, if you have love for him, that you gonna look the other way. Mm-hmm. Now,
sometimes
I agree with. There's a sometimes. Now, if it was a recurring thing, I believe that if
I'm like, too sensitive,
I think that it depends. I think this goes into the conversation about, like you said, unhappy. Like, did you cheat because you just unhappy? Like then, like if you cheated because you just want you want your rocks off, that's a whole different conversation. Mm-hmm. Like that's a different like. So what I'm not doing it. Like what's like that's a conversation we could have. Like, what did I do wrong? Like, what made you do that? Was I not giving you enough attention? What did I do wrong? Now, if it was like I'm just genuinely not happy here. So I'm not happy in this situation. Mm-hmm. Like I don't like you. Then like,
gotta let that go.
Why are we together if you don't like me? Because you cheated just because you wanted to.
I was gonna say, because some people will use cheating as a catalyst for the conversation that they're afraid to have, right? So I've seen where there's dudes that are just unhappy in the relationship, but the girl is such a good girl.
Yeah, that was me.
No, it wasn't.
Every time I cheated.
That was not you.
Every time
before,
I cheated.
Not with that girl. Before, she was.
Sorry, miscommunication. Sorry, bro.
She was my karma.
Got it.
But that, I had great girls who loved you. Me. And I couldn't just
break up.
Like, I couldn't just break up with them. If they wanted to be back with me, I'm going to take them back.
So it's almost like,
I didn't really,
you know what I'm
going
to do? I'm going to cheat and get caught so that you have a reason
exactly
for this to end. Mm. Which is kind of like, from a guy's perspective, it's like, nah, that's not how you should handle it as a man, right?
Right.
But that takes maturity and growth and all that kind of stuff.
Plus,
right?
Women be crazy. If you try to break up with them sometimes off the nothing, you just ain't into it. They be tripping sometimes, and you got to stalk and you got to go back and forth. But if they they gonna stalk you.
Oh, they're gonna stalk you.
I had a girl shoot at my house.
Jesus.
She only had a .22, so the bullet didn't even go through. It just hit me. The bullet just knocked on the glass and fell down. But I broke up with her in the club. I was just like, look, I'm tired of this shit. Like, that's just because I was on dancing on a girl, and she came in. I was like, look, I want to break up. I don't want to be with you. I don't want to. I'm tired of. And you caught me cheating. You took me back. I'm like, okay, just break up with me. Like, I'm good. And she was like, no, you not good. And you stay. I stay with you. You gonna stay with me. And I was like, what else could I do? So I went home that night. I had took the chick who I was dancing with home, and she popped up at the house at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I heard something go bah. And I heard my glass go. I said this, and I heard her car because she had a messed up belt. So her belt, her car was squeaking like skitty. And then she tried to shoot it and pull off.
Oh.
And the bullet didn't even go through. It just hit the glass and bounced down. I said, this is dirty. I tried to break up with her. I ended up having to get back with her again because she was so crazy. Wait. I was like, I don't want no more problems. They'd be like, so kill me.
Boogie, I love you to death. You know I love you.
I had to.
Boogie, you know I love you.
Boogie,
you know I love you, right? Boogie, you toxic, dog.
I'm the problem. I'm clearly the problem.
Boogie, you a little toxic, my friend.
What made you get
the Lord know?
Oh, shit.
You said something earlier that made me think. How did you know? You said something about the next person is the right person type of thing, like post this karma situation. Yeah. So how did you even decide that you could trust somebody after the situation you went through? So the girl that followed suit after this situation.
That situation just made me stronger. I used it the right way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I used that energy as, like, everybody ain't no cheaters. That was an isolated situation. I'm going to meet a girl, and I'm going to keep getting... Because I ain't never had no problem getting women, especially in New Orleans. You know what I mean? This is my people. They love me. I'm always going to have women. So I had women after that, and it was always based on your individual person. Every time, I treated every relationship after that like a brand new relationship. Yes. Nothing ever made me think that... I don't never think nobody cheating. Until they cheating. If I ain't see you, and I ain't gonna never see none of them, I'm never going to walk up on them again. Like,
I really hope not for you.
I'm an anomaly.
Traumatized.
That'll never happen again to
Boogie
me.
Boogie never walks up to car windows, ever. Ever.
Matter of fact, I have a horse. I don't even have a car. I'll be like, yeah. I don't want no windows.
Riding around in a convertible all day. They ain't got no windows. Absolutely not.
I used it in the right way, though, man, to answer your question. You gotta use when shit bad happens to you, you have to use, because bad stuff is going to happen. And you could end up making a bad choice because of your split decisions or your overreaction or something like that. And you end up in jail. You end up dead. New Orleans was that type of city. That dude could have got out that car and killed me. You know what I'm saying? Just that easy. He had a gun in the car, too. The girl told me. My baby mom told me he had a gun. He was a drug dealer. He had a job, but he sold drugs, too. He could have killed me if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But I wasn't about to provoke him. You know what I'm saying? What if I'd have ran up on him, he'd have killed me? And I wouldn't be telling a damn joke.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? So you could make the wrong decision. Make the best of your shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Thank you for joining us. We got to wrap. So that was a great fucking story. And I didn't know that was what we were going to talk about today, but it was that was fantastic.
Don't let Boogie B come on your show and take over your show. You know, I'm the mouth of the South. I'll be the rap the whole show. So thank y'all for watching the Sunday Scoop.
No, this show was for you.
This was for you. You're the guest.
Okay. We y'all care always about
Matt. Yeah, like, fuck Matt.
Matt was literally just a last minute situation. Yeah, we just we needed somebody to sit in the fourth seat and just hold a conversation.
Just back Boogie up. If he say something, you say something. No. Thank you.
I want to ask you one question. That it's a little serious, but at the same time, like, I feel like it's just important since we got the cameras rolling and we got everything here and we're here in this moment. How do you want to be remembered?
You know, I have that in my list. I did the whole day thing, yeah. Like, what would you want your legacy to be?
That's a great one, man. And that's all just like positivity. Just all just the message that I give on to in any story that I tell is to live happy now. I don't care what happens in y'all lives. Live happy now. I don't care where you're at. I don't care how much you got. I don't care who gonna die. The longer you gonna live, the more you gonna lose. Know that. I went through Katrina. I had zero clothes left. I had no high school diploma. I had not, all that shit got washed away. So all the shit that I valued had been taken from me at an early age in my 20s. See what I'm saying? And then I started losing people. I was losing people before that. This New Orleans, people was getting killed every day that I knew growing up. And that just told me that, like, have fun, man. Whatever you doing, it better be great right now. If it ain't, then you wasting your time. At your job, at your whatever, if you ain't happy, get the fuck out of there. Do something that make you feel good. I don't care how many babies you make. You do something that make you feel good, man. That's, I don't care how bad shit get, life is worth living. And if somebody died that you love, have a second line parade and let them go on in a happy way. You the one down here with the bullshit. Don't cry. Party. Celebrate that you knew that motherfucker. Like, damn, I got a chance to do a podcast with him. That was great. I'm so glad I got to meet him. I'm so glad I got to meet my dad. I'm so glad I got to meet my brother. I'm so glad I got to meet a lot of great people in my life. And that's the most important thing about life. I've always felt good. I ain't never felt bad. My daddy told me he had AIDS. I was 12 years old. I ain't feel sad. I was like, damn, dad, shit. Well, give me a hug. Yep, you out of here, Dad. You up out of this, bitch. Well, you know, my daddy was a soldier, too. I ain't going nowhere. Shit, Lord know me. Lord know what I do. He ain't going to take me. Shit, I still got niggas to kill. I was like, hey, Dad, you going to get took out early with this type of attitudes. But
you said you are out of here.
Yeah, you out of here, Dad. Shit. I was 12. AIDS had just came out, too. I thought that was new, like, AIDS. Woo. Hey, Magic Johnson hadn't been living that long. I was like, oh, man, damn, woo. Yeah, you was on them drugs. You know, that's what happens to you. Should have said no like me.
Yeah. No, but that was beautiful.
That up until the AIDS part. Yeah, you know.
I think the AIDS part was necessary.
It was.
Because I try to make light of the shit that y'all think is heavy to show you that life is about experiences. And if you don't lose nobody, you ain't going to be strong. Mm. You ain't cut for this. Mm. The first thing that happened to your ass, if you ain't never lost nobody, if you ain't never did no time, if you ain't never cheated on nobody or got cheated on, then the first thing that happened to you, you're going to fold. You ain't battle tested yet for life. Life is going to be ups and downs. You got to enjoy the ups just like you enjoy the downs.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hey.
Awesome.
Boogie, love you.
I really needed to
my guy, Rich. I love y'all, man. Lonnie, man. I love you, man. Thank I've been loving you for a long time, man. Like, from like just business relationship, your professionalism, your grace and poise. You know, you only yelled at me once. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't do no wrong to nobody. But, you know, it's always been love since we've been knowing each other, man. Great energy. Matt, good to meet you, man. I'm going to be your friend for a long time, too. Rich, man. Energy, man. Energy is everything. Them smiles, them fucking what's up boogies, those keep me going. So when I get fucked up again, I can be like, damn, motherfucker Rich might want to talk to me later. Let me not do no dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? Lonnie might call me for something. Let me not do no dumb shit. That shit just keeps me from being a depressed comic. I'm ready to rock with anything that happened. If I don't make it, I already made it. Because I'm living great. I ain't got no complaints. I ain't had a job in like 10 years that I had to clock into. Shit, I ain't rich. But goddamn it, I ain't begging. That's all it is. And I'm from New Orleans. This wasn't supposed to happen. I was supposed to be a statistic. I ain't got no college degree. I'm an Arab black man, got multiple children, multiple baby mamas. I'm supposed to be a stereotype. I'm supposed to be out of here, and I'm here, so shit, y'all gonna feel me.
Hell yeah.
Everybody, all these cameras, put them on me. I want you to remember Boogie B, goddammit. Look at my face like, damn, that nigga was crazy. Whatever you feel, I made you feel something. You ain't gonna never forget me.
Amazing, amazing. Well, Boogie B, thank you for joining us on the Sunday Scoop.
Thank you, Sunday Scoop.
And thank you on TikTok. Did you...
Instagram.
Oh, that's Instagram. Oh, my bad. I thought we was on TikTok
live.
Thank you,
IG.
Hey, IG, thank you for joining us, and hopefully you had a good time.
Follow me at Comedian Boogie B.
Yes, yes.
On everything.
On everything. Comedian
and then B-O-O-G-I-E. I appreciate y'all.
Amazing. Thank you. And that has been your Sunday Scoop. We'll see you next time.